Oregon, our subject tonight, was born in Alexandria in Egypt about the year 185, and he died when he was 69 in Palestine. He was one of those people who had an enormous privilege. He was brought up in a Christian home, and as soon as he was able to learn to read, his father, Leonidas, taught him a text of scripture every day. And another available source about his early life tells us that when the infant Oregon was asleep, his father Leonidas would give him a good night kiss and then thank God that he had made it so visibly obvious that the Holy Spirit had made the child trust Jesus. But sadly, Leonidas was martyred for his faith in Christ when Oregon was about 17 or 18 years old. Actually, at that time, Oregon's mother had to hide his clothes in case he went along and zeal for Christ got him into a similar sort of trouble. While he was in prison, Leonidas, Oregon's father, was very concerned about the fact that he was about to leave a mother and seven children without any financial support. But Oregon, who was the eldest, wrote him a letter and said that loyalty to Christ mattered more than anything else in the world, and that Christ would provide for them. And he was right. Oregon was extremely clever as well as very zealous. For instance, he taught himself Hebrew when he was about 18 years old, simply in order to understand the Old Testament better. At that time, there were so many converts to Christianity in Alexandria that they had to set up a school to teach people the basics of the Christian faith. And although he was barely 20 years old, Oregon was unanimously chosen as the head of that school. There he preached, he taught how to answer the objections of Jewish people, heathens, agnostics, heretics, and he wrote books and tracts, and he gave advice. He is almost certainly supposed to have taken a verse in the Bible literally, Matthew chapter 19, verse 12, the second part of it, and made himself a eunuch, that is, made himself incapable of marriage. It's very interesting that later on in his life, when he wrote a commentary on the book of Matthew, he takes the end of Matthew chapter 19, verse 12, non-literally or spiritually, as he ought to have done in the first place. But it doesn't really alter the fact that within his understanding, he was prepared to obey Christ, and his zeal, not his action, that was wrong, puts us all to shame. The self-denial was his way of life. He took Christ's words to the 70 disciples literally, and he wore no shoes. He refused to possess two coats, and you could go on and talk in those terms about him. This was a man who wrote the very first systematic theology, commentaries on John, Matthew, Romans, Genesis, the Psalms, all the major and minor prophets, all Paul's epistles. This was a man who preached almost daily using the expository method of preaching. At one time there were seven secretaries taking down his sermons and writings and copying them. When he was 65, one of the periodic Roman persecutions broke out and Origen was caught up in it. He was put in chains, which included an iron collar round his neck, stuck in a dungeon, and there they tortured him. And after that ordeal, his life was very short. Looking back on the life of Origen, there's no doubt that he was at fault. He tried to find layers of impossible meanings in the Bible, something you should avoid doing. He also speculated where the Bible is silent, something else you should avoid doing. And it was a serious mistake, because on some issues he moved himself almost to the borderlands of heresy, because he had this brilliant imaginative mind which almost ran away with him. But remember, he was a pioneer, a trailblazer, and people like him are very easy to criticise. On the positive side, he refuted the heretics, he won and he built up converts, and as one author has summed him up, he was one of the most brilliant teachers and writers ever known in the Christian Church. It was in the city of Tyre in 254 that he died. In some ways, he was like Polycarp, our first subject, in not having a crisis conversion and never knowing a moment when he did not love and trust Christ as his Saviour and his Lord. We should ask, does such a man as this have anything to say to us in 1992? And as with all these great pioneering Christians, the answer is yes. Note first, he was a prayed for child. The idea of teaching texts to children in Christian homes is a good one. The modern church really is very weak on its theology of Christian nurture of children, and it could learn a lot from Origen's upbringing. Sending your children, if you have them, to Sunday school for Christian parents is really an optional extra. It does not take the place of the teaching that ought to be given in the home. Later on, some of Origen's lack of clarity about doctrinal issues was put right in the great ecumenical councils that went on in the early centuries. And I'm talking here about ecumenical in the correct sense, not in what we see round us now. These great councils are still important to us today. Councils like the Council of Nicaea, the Council of Chalcedon. These magnificent gatherings of the church to decide the basic beliefs about the Trinity and about the person of Christ are not possible today, because the church is now split into thousands of formerly unconnected pieces and local groups. And looking back, perhaps we should be sorry about that. And lastly, Origen lived a godly and a blameless life. For him, Christ was the centre of history, and he was the centre of his own belief. And for Christ, he would have sacrificed himself if he was required to do so. He's the sort of Christian who makes everybody else feel uncomfortable when you read about him. If he were here, he would say to you, "Are you a Christian?" And he makes you want to say that if you say yes, well then what have you sacrificed for Christ? I think we ought to remember Origen.